Are you ready to take charge of your health journey? Look no further than Trinity School of Natural Health. With their flexible online programs, you can receive the comprehensive education you need to care for your loved ones or step into the thriving field of natural health. Why choose Trinity? Because their programs offer more than just coursework. You'll interact with experienced instructors, connect with like-minded peers, and even participate in optional live events to hone your skills. If you've ever thought about becoming a certified natural health professional, the CNHP program at Trinity School of Natural Health is the perfect certification course. You'll equip yourself with the knowledge and skills to make a real difference in the lives of others. Turn your passion for natural health into a rewarding career. Visit trinityschool.org today to learn more about the Certified Natural Health Professional Certification Program. Go to trinityschool.org. That's trinityschool.org. Trinity School of Natural Health. Transform your life. Transform the world.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cb for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hey guys, ready or not, 2024 is here, and we here at Breaking Points are already thinking of ways we can up our game for this critical election.
We rely on our premium subs to expand coverage, upgrade the studio, add staff, give you guys the best independent coverage that is possible. If you like what we're all about, it just means the absolute world to have your support. But enough with that, let's get to the show.
They're collecting information about, they said they could collect information about your sex life, your sexual activity, your union membership, your genetic information, your biometrics, on top of all the car usage data of where you're driving, when you're driving, how fast you're driving, how many people are in the car, what radio stations you're listening to, and on and on and on. It was huge. It was really frightening, actually.
Is your car spying on you? My name is James Lee, and you're watching Beyond the Headlines on Breaking Points. Many people think of their car as a private space, somewhere to call their doctor, have a personal conversation, cry over a breakup, or hit the open road without the world knowing where you're headed. But that perception no longer matches reality. According to Mozilla Research, popular global brands including BMW, Ford, Toyota, Tesla, Kia, and Subaru can collect deeply personal data such as sexual activity, immigration status, race, facial expressions, weight, health and genetic information, and where you drive, with data collected by sensors, microphones, cameras, and phones and devices drivers connect to their cars, as well as by car apps, company websites, dealerships, and vehicle telematics. Where does all this information go? Who has access to it? And for what purposes are they using it? Joining us today is Jen Kaltrider, Program Director of Privacy Not Included, a Mozilla initiative and guide that helps consumers understand privacy and security features of various technology products and services. Jen, thank you for joining us today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
All right, I want to start with the report itself. The Mozilla report found that all 25 major car brands reviewed received failing marks for consumer privacy. I was wondering what exactly it means to receive a failing mark. If you can go into that a little bit and share with us some of the most surprising, perhaps startling findings you guys came across.
Yeah, so all 25 of the car brands we reviewed across 15 car companies earned our Privacy Not Included warning label. And what that means is we ding companies for how much data they collect, how they use that data. So are they sharing it for targeted advertising purposes? Are they selling it? Things like that. How much control a user has over their data. So can you get your data deleted no matter where you live, or only if you live in a state where your privacy right is guaranteed? We look at companies' known track records. So do they have a good track record of protecting and respecting and securing the information that they collect on people? We also have a set of minimum security standards that we look at for every product we review. Does it use encryption? Does it require a strong password? Things like that. And so with the reviewing of the car companies, we found like our eyes were bugging out when we found how much data these car companies said in their privacy policies that they could collect on users. And so you ask, well, what are some of the things that really surprised us? And I mean, first off was just the scope of how much information these car companies said they could collect. And you think about, okay, a car should collect the information it needs to get me from point A to point B safely, right? Okay, that's like kind of the place where you start. Car companies felt like they went way beyond that. They're collecting information about, they said they could collect information about your sex life, your sexual activity, your union membership, your genetic information, your biometrics, on top of all the car usage data of where you're driving, when you're driving, how fast you're driving, how many people are in the car, what radio stations you're listening to, and on and on and on. It was huge. It was really frightening, actually.
Wow. So you mentioned right now something very startling, like sexual activity, health information, these kinds of things. So what mechanisms or technologies are they using in the car to get that kind of data?
That's a good question. So we know that all modern cars are smart cars. It's not like you can go to the lot right now and buy a dumb car, because all the cars that they're selling on the lots now pretty much are cars that have sensors built in to track your speed, your braking, whether you're wearing your seatbelt. They have microphones in the cars. They have cameras in the cars and outside the car. So there's a lot of data that is being collected, and the potential for the data that they can collect everything. And this is kind of the tip of the iceberg. I just read some information last week about a company that was developing technology to use the indoor in-car cameras to study our emotions and moods, to know what we're feeling when we're in our car. And so that's really scary. So they can collect the information through the sensors, the microphones, the cameras. How are they collecting information about your sex life, or even are they? That's something that I can't answer. I'm not inside of the car companies to know what they're doing. But all I can say for certain is if you buy a Nissan or a Kia, the privacy policies that we reviewed last year made you consent to it, that said that they could collect that information.
So you mentioned a couple of brands there. So I'm wondering if you guys spotted any regional differences between manufacturers and how they collect data, or how much data they collect between, let's say, North American manufacturers versus European ones, Asian ones. Was there any difference to how they approach this issue of data privacy?
Yeah, so we reviewed the privacy documentation as best we could find it for kind of North American cars, mostly US-based. And we also looked at EU privacy documentation. And so privacy documentation varies a little bit. In the EU, they have what's called GDPR, which is their privacy protecting law. It gives consumers rights, right to be deleted, right to not have data collected without you, without your explicit consent, things like that. In the US, we don't have a federal privacy law. And so you'll read the American privacy laws and you'll get an addendum for what's happening in California or maybe in Colorado or Virginia or a place like that. But across the board, car companies are saying they can collect a lot of information. In the EU, consumers are protected. They have certain rights. So everybody there will have the right to delete data. Here in the US, not everybody will have the right to delete data. Consent is required to be gotten a little more explicitly in the EU than it is here in the US. And so those were the major differences. I think looking at EU privacy policies, they don't tend to go in as much detail about the data, how the data is collected, or what data is collected and how is it used. And you will get that in North American privacy policies.
And you spoke a little bit about consent. So I'm wondering if we dive into that a little bit more. Specifically, when we think of consent, We usually think in terms of social media companies, online services, apps, things like that, where we physically click that we agree to specific terms and conditions, albeit I don't think many of us actually read the document itself. But how does this happen, let's say, with the owner of a car or even a passenger in a vehicle? How do they give consent to the manufacturer?
Yeah, consent is a really tricky issue, especially when it comes to cars. I my family bought a car last year. At no point was I required to consent to the privacy policy for the car company that I bought. I chose not to download the app. If I downloaded the app, there would have been an opportunity to look at that privacy policy probably when the app was downloaded. And then the use of the connected services, sometimes something will flash on the screen really quickly. Hey, do you consent to this? But to sit through a car and scroll through, 5,000 words of a legal document isn't usually the way that people are going to do it. And so consent is really tricky. And we saw this with the story that came out from the New York Times recently, where GM was collecting usage data on people's cars, sharing that with data brokers. The insurance companies were buying it from the data brokers, and people's interest rates were going up. GM says, oh, we never did that without consent. But the consumers are like, I don't remember ever consenting to this. And it was a feature in their OnStar. And so, whether it happened at the dealer, we're hearing a lot about when people buy cars, the salespeople are actually incentivized to get them to download the app and accept all conditions or sign up for connected services. And the car companies really push this. And so you might not have realized before you drove off the lot when the car salesman was walking you through the features, they actually consented for you and you didn't realize it. And then it's hard to go in and unconsent. Once you've consented, it's really hard to kind of pull that back. And then there's apps, and then there's connected services. If you use SiriusXM, do you recall when you consented? So that's a problem. Consent is very murky. Car companies aren't very explicitly getting it. And then there's the funny parts that are kind of funny, haha, but also funny, sad, where you read the privacy policies and it'll say, hey, if you use these connected services in your car, you consent to all this data being collected. And anybody who becomes a passenger in your car has consented to this privacy policy as well. And it's your duty as the driver of this car to let the passenger know about this privacy policy, which is just ridiculous, right? Nobody picks their buddy up to go to a movie and says, hold on, before we leave, let me read you this privacy policy and make sure you consent to this data collection. That's just not how it works. And so consent is it's a very dark subject. It's a very bad subject when it comes to this, and it needs to be improved.
Absolutely. Yeah, it seems very, very disturbing. So I'm wondering, have you received any specific responses from consumers after they've read your report? What's the vibe that we're getting from the people?
Yeah. So I think the first reaction from people was like, holy cow, what is happening? Which is great, because when we were doing the research, that was our reaction too. We're like, holy cow, what's going on? This is really bad. How come no one's talking about this? And so we were really pleased to see that, it wasn't just us that were feeling that way when we put our research out. Like, other people were like, holy cow, I had no idea. And I think that's in part because people don't buy cars all that frequently. And if you bought a car 10 years ago, you might not know that you go to buy a car now and privacy is even something you need to contemplate. And people can't rank privacy as something they do when they, go car shopping. They have to look at price and affordability and safety and availability. And then people started sharing their own stories of the car salesman that really pushed them to sign up for things because they would get a bonus if you signed up. We heard lots of stories from people that were trying to opt out and figure out how to opt out and just being really confused about how to do it. And can I disable the cellular data? Well, maybe, but you might void your warranty. Can I ask my dealer to stop doing this? It's like, well, the dealer and the car company aren't always on the same page about data collection and data sharing. They're kind of pointing fingers back and forth at each other, so you might not get straight answers. Lots of stories like that. There was an interesting story in Australia where a Toyota owner, lifelong Toyota owner, I think, went to buy a new Toyota, put the deposit down, and then while he's waiting for the vehicle to come in, learned about the privacy concerns, contacted the dealer and said, I didn't know about this. Can I opt out? And they were like, well, you can opt out, but it's not like you're going to have your data collected probably. And he's like, well, I don't want the car, but they wouldn't give him back his deposit. he got a consumer group involved. And after a lot of back and forth with the dealer and the car company and people pointing fingers, he eventually got his deposit back, but it was a struggle. And so I think the biggest response is people were surprised and shocked and kind of angered. And then asking, well, what can we do? You know, what options do we have? And unfortunately, I'm not able to give consumers a lot of good options, because you can look and do your best to opt out of things and try not to give your consent. But again, I worry that it's very confusing, and sometimes consent might not be explicitly asked. You can not download and use the app, which is what I did, but you're giving up some features in your car that people might find really useful. You can not use the connected services, but you might be paying for them anyways, or you know, you'll get the free trial and not realize that by agreeing to that free trial, you're giving up a lot of data. And you might not be able to delete your data. And so what I end up telling people is, you know, it's time for the U.S. to have a strong federal privacy law where people have rights and car companies have to do better.
Yeah. I'm glad I bought a car like 7 years ago. So hearing all this stuff, I read recently that according to a McKinsey report, the monetization of car data, that's what we're talking about here, is projected to be a huge industry, $750 billion. So we understand what's in it for the manufacturer, but for the consumer, it seems like there's a whole lot of issues there. How have the car manufacturers tried to justify this or spin this maybe in a positive way? The report, I know I read in there that there was, you guys mentioned privacy washing in the findings, meaning that they're pretending to protect consumers' privacy without actually doing so. I'm wondering what your thoughts on this are.
Yeah, well, the car company's favorite argument about why they need all this data is for safety. Oh, we need all this data for safety reasons. This is just for safety. We're not collecting data to make money off you. We're collecting data for safety reasons. And to be fair, some of the data they collect is for safety. But we think that the amount of data that they collect to get you from point A to point B safely is way more than they need to. And we found it very funny that, you know, the car companies would at the top of their privacy policy say, we really care about your privacy, and we've created these privacy principles and we've signed on to them. And then you go and read the privacy principles, it's not things they're doing at all. They're not minimizing their data collection. They aren't being very transparent in everything they do. They don't have great consent mechanisms where, you know, people's choice is very clear and explicit. And so we called them out on that. I think that maybe they would disagree, but I think consumers would probably maybe take a look at those privacy principles and also kind of feel what we're feeling. It's like, no, you're not doing these things. Or if you are, you're doing them really poorly. Can you do better?
Right. Yeah. I know we don't have this, any type of federal privacy law, like you just talked about. Is there any, or have you guys seen any regulatory pressure at all to enact such a law to protect consumer privacy? Or is this going to be kind of, I guess, what you would call just the way things are going forward?
Well, I hope it's not just the way things are going forward. It's my job to be pessimistic and optimistic. So yeah, there's a couple of things afoot. I mean, there is a draft of a federal privacy law that's been in existence. It's kind of languishing. One of the really positive things that we've seen since our research come out is Senator Ed Markey has gotten involved. He sent letters to the CEOs of 14 car companies, asking them to clarify the questions that we couldn't get answered. He was disappointed in the responses and has asked the FTC to step in and use the full force of their investigative power to try and hold the car companies accountable for that. So that's a good step forward. As for the federal privacy law, well, that's something that we're pushing. You know, like every time I get an opportunity to tell people that they should support this, a strong consumer federal privacy law, I do it because I think that's what we need. Interestingly, the car companies will also say we need a federal privacy law. I don't think that our version and their version is quite the same, though. One of the reasons they say that is they claim that states having a patchwork of privacy makes it really difficult for them, which kind of makes me chuckle, because I'm like, well, just pick the state with the strongest privacy and apply that to everybody. That seems really easy. But it doesn't seem like something they're keen to do.
Yeah. But I do like your mindset right there, being pessimistic and optimistic at the same time. So kudos to you guys and the rest of folks at Mozilla for staying on top of this. Where can the audience find more of your work?
Oh, yeah. Well, privacynotincluded.org is our buyer's guide where you can go and see our car reviews or reviews for your smart speaker, your fitness tracker, other things. So go there. And if you see something that we didn't review that you'd like to review, we have a link there and let us know. We love to like hear from people and try and learn what they want us to review. So privacynotincluded.org.
Everybody go check that out. And thank you, Jen, again, for coming on the show and reminding us that we are almost always being watched, even in our cars.
Yes, we are. Thank you.
Are you ready to take charge of your health journey? Look no further than Trinity School of Natural Health. With their flexible online programs, you can receive the comprehensive education you need to care for your loved ones or step into the thriving field of natural health. Why choose Trinity? Because their programs offer more than just coursework. You'll interact with experienced instructors, connect with like-minded peers, and even participate in optional live events to hone your skills. If you've ever thought about becoming a certified natural health professional, the CNHP program at Trinity School of Natural Health is the perfect certification course. You'll equip yourself with the knowledge and skills to make a real difference in the lives of others. Turn your passion for natural health into a rewarding career. Visit trinityschool.org today to learn more about the Certified Natural Health Professional Certification Program. Go to trinityschool.org. That's trinityschool.org. Trinity School of Natural Health. Transform your life. Transform the world.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. People don't always realize just how much their negative thoughts and experiences stick with them and weigh them down. You may find your brain constantly running through a highlight reel of bad moments. That comment your friend made last week that hurt your feelings, that frustrating thing your mom does, or that silly thing you said in a meeting. Maybe it's time to get it all off your chest. Whether it's a tiny annoyance or something much bigger, talking about it can give you some relief and lead you to a potential solution. That's where therapy comes in. It's a safe space to share whatever's weighing you down and learn to process it so your internal highlight reel can focus on the good stuff. And BetterHelp offers affordable online therapy on a schedule that works for you. Connect with a licensed therapist by text, phone, or video call. Start the process in minutes and switch therapist anytime. Let it out with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/breaking today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/breaking.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
Hey, it's Jordan with Status Quo News. I'm on the ground in Wyoming County, West Virginia, coal country, where for over a year, the corporate media and the politicians who represent West Virginia have been completely ignoring a major water crisis in some areas, including creeks and private drinking wells that residents get their water from. We've seen water that looks like it's contaminated from coal mines. It
was nothing compared to what we had coming out over in the other field.
So a private well, private water wells, residents all over this community, most of them have water wells, and it's supposed to be water from the aquifer.
Yes.
But that looks like...
it's coming from a coal mine. They're right. Saying it's coming from a coal mine, yeah.
There's coal mines all over the place here.
Yes.
We've seen water that have white particles and green-looking fungus.
I had a hydrologist send me pictures, too. That's living. All that white stuff... it's a living organism. It's growing. That's growing.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
For over a year, residents have been coming down with illnesses.
What are the main symptoms you've been seeing?
Nausea, vomiting, diarrhea, coughing in some cases, fever, and abdominal cramps.
Some residents have suddenly died recently of unknown causes, and animals are dropping dead abruptly. Please subscribe to Status Quo News on YouTube, so we can get more support to keep on this important story that the corporate media is totally burying.
So we're in the backwoods, West Virginia, Wyoming County. Right down below this hill is Indian Creek, which sure looks contaminated to me. I see some stuff in there that looks like a sheen. I don't know if it's oil or something, but you live here, Paul. And tell me about when you first started noticing there were issues with the water.
You could start smelling it. And I come out and looked, and yeah, you could see it's been a while now.
At least over a year.
Yes. And if you could see from right here, you could see it right there really bad.
Yeah. See the brown kind of, almost looks like brown clay or sediment.
Look, the DEP doesn't give a shit about this place. Look, look at this. We're going to walk on down through here. I know when I was driving down here, probably about a quarter of a mile, I looked and it was just as dirty. Yeah. Look at this, guys. Look. This is your DEP, babe. West Virginia Department of Environmental Protection. This is your protection.
That is not normal in a fresh creek. We've seen videos from Richard showing that brown stuff. Some independent testing has tested for high levels of manganese, lead, arsenic, iron. But the state environmental testing, they test for who knows, only four things, and I don't know what they are. They say it's safe, but I mean, your eyes and your nose won't lie. Right now, it doesn't smell so bad, but when it's hotter or it rains, the smell gets worse.
Oh, yes. When it gets warmer, it really gets bad. Yeah, you have to keep your door shut. You can't stand the smell. It smells just like sewage.
Like what?
Sewage.
Wow. And you reached out to Senator Manchin's office. Tell me about what happened there.
Okay, when I reached Senator Manchin's office, first lady I spoke with, she was from the Charleston office. And she tried to help me what she could, but... when it came down to paying for my well water testing, because it was a public well, they told me in the beginning they was going to pay for it. And then the lady at the Charleston office, I wasn't using her no more. A lady from another office was contacting me that I had used before. When I asked them to pay for the water, he told me they wouldn't pay for it. So I called back and told the lady, I said, I wouldn't vote for him for dog catcher. So I hung up, and it must have made them mad. So they called me back, a man did, and he told me, he said that was a state issue, not a federal issue, and don't call back.
And this was a man from the Charleston office or the D.C. office?
I'm not sure which office it was from, but it was from his office. And I also have the number in there from where they had called.
So let me get this straight. Manchin is the senator of the state of West Virginia, yet they told you it was a state issue and not a federal issue, so he couldn't help you.
Yes. And kept wanting me to fill out papers for them to represent me, and I did it. And then what they would do, they just keep sending papers to try to have, but when it come to the money of having the well or the water from the creek, they wasn't gonna pay for that.
And what were they sending you papers for? To
a paper to represent me, because they couldn't do it on their own. They had to have my signature.
I'm not an expert on land ownership, but he is the elected senator of West Virginia. I don't think he needs your signature to come down here and inspect or look into a contaminated creek and residents that are sick. I don't know. It sounds like they just kind of gave you the go around.
Yeah, they did. I filled out three papers. I have filled out three papers. And the man did say that to me, not to call back, that it was a state, not a federal issue.
Can I ask you, I've talked to residents who their dogs have died, roosters suddenly dying, their cats have gotten sick and died.
I've been seeing coons, been seeing deer dead, seen my dogs get this like they're sick one day and they're dead the next before you can even take them to the vet or anything.
How many dogs do you think you've lost?
Two. I've had about 20 roosters die, my dogs. Anything that drinks out of that creek, I have to go buy it store-bought water or it'll die here.
Are the ones that are left drinking out of the creek still?
No, I buy water. They deliver water. I ain't got many left. I ain't got three roosters left out of about 30.
Your cats have had issues. Were they ever drinking out of the creek or just inhaling? Inhaling. Yeah, so the cats were also smelling this, and you've had to take them to the vet for respiratory stuff?
Yes.
Right. So what you're saying is when they were born, they could meow, and now they can't. They're getting health problems. I just spoke with a woman. Bad diarrhea, nausea.
I ain't been able to breathe hardly. As you can tell, I'm a little hoarse. And we've had diarrhea and stuff going on pretty bad at my house.
You been having diarrhea? Anything else?
It's just sick in my stomach.
I got to go see a specialist over my stomach right now. We're just wanting to puke. I just don't have no appetite and stuff. But, yeah, the headaches, the dryness in my mouth, the funny taste in my mouth.
You seem fairly young. I don't know. I mean, I'm not.
I'll be 41 next month.
Right. So before all this, were you relatively healthy?
Yeah, I didn't have no problem. I can get doctor records for you.
Could these kind of things right now, it's causing, you know, the stomach stuff, but could this lead to potentially worse issues down the road?
Yes. Digesting all these chemicals that we are seeing that has been tested for these whales can cause cancer. It can cause all kinds of different things. So, especially if it's not treated. So, if they're continuing to drink this and they're not being notified that, hey, this water's really bad and it has all these chemicals and they just keep drinking it, it's not going to be a good result in the end.
Have you had any issues from showering or drinking the water?
Yeah, I've had trouble from... I'm scarred up. I'm across my shoulders from showering in the water.
If you want to show. So all those white marks and splotches are...
They were bumps. And then when they would heal, it would leave me scarred.
And when did you start noticing that? Or when were you told that those were on your skin?
I had a biopsy done. I had a biopsy done.
You got some in the front, too, yeah?
I had a biopsy done a year ago from the VA hospital. And the VA hospital told me they don't know what it is.
But it started around the same time that Jamie's yard was flooded, about February 2023?
Yes.
And did it... Did it itch or anything?
Yeah, it would itch at times. They gave me some cream to put on it, but that wasn't doing anything for it. So I just left it alone, let it heal on its own, and it would scar me.
The dermatologist basically said, I don't know what it is?
Yeah, they told me they didn't know what it was. And that was after a biopsy.
Any problems with your animals? Did they used to drink out of the creek?
Well, you see out there, I got a chicken house. I don't have no chickens in it because my chickens was dying and I wasn't gonna let it continue.
You were in the Navy?
Yes.
So you fight for your country and this is what's happening to you?
There's the flag.
Right there. I mean, that's kind of symbolic, right? You're a veteran and you're dealing with this and the government that sent you out is... not even returning people's calls here.
Yeah. Yeah, they're giving us the runaround. And you could tell it's not just the state, it's the county. The southern counties in West Virginia built the northern counties from when coal was king. So now they've forgotten us. We're the forgotten, like I told Joe Manchin's office, we're the forgotten people of the Appalachian Mountains.
What about the governor? I mean, he is a coal baron. He was a billionaire. He's got a coal empire. Hasn't paid hundreds of millions of dollars in taxes and unpaid cleanup for mines. I looked into it. I haven't heard anything from the governor on this. Have you?
No, I haven't heard anything. From the county to the state to the federal, I haven't heard anything from nobody.
And the EPA told you?
We're expendable, as long as they got jobs. That's basically why, you know, I took it. And I had to ask him again what he said. He goes, I'm not personally saying that. That's the way they think when they come in here and they say, well, we can't shut the mines down because 4 or 5 people has died. This county and the other counties in West Virginia and Kentucky and Tennessee built this country. We built it. And we need them. We need the country to step in and do something. They're poisoning everybody. So it's time for them to give back to us. So that's what we want.
Are you ready to take charge of your health journey? Look no further than Trinity School of Natural Health. With their flexible online programs, you can receive the comprehensive education you need to care for your loved ones or step into the thriving field of natural health. Why choose Trinity? Because their programs offer more than just coursework. You'll interact with experienced instructors, connect with like-minded peers, and even participate in optional live events to hone your skills. If you've ever thought about becoming a certified natural health professional, the CNHP program at Trinity School of Natural Health is the perfect certification course. You'll equip yourself with the knowledge and skills to make a real difference in the lives of others. Turn your passion for natural health into a rewarding career. Visit trinityschool.org today to learn more about the Certified Natural Health Professional Certification Program. Go to trinityschool.org. That's trinityschool.org. Trinity School of Natural Health. Transform your life. Transform the world.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you, from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.